Grand Rising, Grand Rising, kings, queens, gods, and goddesses, thanks for showing up for another episode of That White Girl. So normally I go through this whole spiel about how I had the privilege and the honor of having a guest on, and I ain't even going to do all that because I'm going to let this dude's mind run wild on this show. So I am honored, though, in every aspect of the word, to have a gentleman on my show that I'm actually not even really acquainted with. But he had a podcast that I came across, and it was incredibly interesting, to say the least. His name is Carl Trigner, and his podcast is The Crow Show, which is an acronym, and I'm going to let him explain to you what all of that is about. So welcome, Carl, to the show. I'm so grateful to have you here, that you took the time. I know that you're busy with your podcast, amongst other things. So thanks for showing up. I appreciate you. How you doing?
I am awesome. You know, I'm so busy, so of course, to devote some of my ever so precious time. No, you crack me up like I'm so damn shit. Listen, I'm an average person. I am honored to even be on your platform. I'm working hard. You know, I like to say that I have the equivalent of 3 years worth of material within 6 months, because I'm working hard, you know. But The Crow, my podcast, The Crow Show, Crow stands for Candidly Right or Wrong. And your listeners may be thinking, the fuck does that mean? Because how can someone be candidly right or wrong? And yes, it's meant to play on your mind. Because I think we put so much emphasis on what is right, what is wrong, when theoretically there really is no right or wrong. So that's where I came up with that. My podcast, in a nutshell, I pride myself on not being one-dimensional, and I pride myself on being an activist for causes that involve such things as childhood trauma, cancer, helping today's youth understand not to fuck up and make the same mistakes that me and other brothers that I have on my podcast from prison talk about. You know, just being a different vessel for every ethnicity. I'm a utilitarian. I don't believe in a movement just for one group of people. As a utilitarian, I believe in movements that will provide betterment for every individual, because Crayola colors don't really have a place in my world. I'm all about green, weed, and money, bottom line. have them smoke a wood right now. So, you know, that's in a nutshell, that's me. I'm a motor mouth. I'll fuck around and talk all damn day.
I can't believe that thought about you talking all day. But another reason why I'm excited to have you on the show, I'm thinking, you know, my guests are going to be like, damn, Kim didn't really say that much this time. Because
that's how I feel when I have certain guests on. Believe me, I'm like, shit, I get to relax with this motherfucker. Like you.
Yeah, and I don't have to say a whole lot.
Right? So that motherfucker going to flow like water.
That's kind of how I feel about you. So I literally just ran across your podcast and you yesterday. Like, there's no way for me to even consider delving into 161 episodes, which is, if I'm not mistaken, currently what you have published.
Yes, ma'am. I've been working. You know, listen, some of those, pardon me, some of those, you know, I'm sure I could scrap. however, you know, I pride myself on the ones that I can scrap, that they're not ones with my guest. Thank God. You know, they're ones with me. And I'm still sure that someone could find some type of relevance to whatever I may have been babbling about in some of those episodes that I could scrap. But, you know, I, as I mentioned on my podcast quite often, you know, I have this little trifecta, here on my wall in my makeshift booth where I zone out and act like I'm in this expensive ass motherfucking studio. But if your listeners can see this shit, you know, I've got some goddamn, the color version of MacGyver in this motherfucker.
Okay, I saw your eggshell.
Man.
Flats.
You talk about a motherfucker frugal. You hear me?
Listen, you talking to the right one.
I put the capital F in frugal. Fuck that shit. Shit. But I have a picture of Michael Jordan, Herb Kent, and Howard Stern. And I believe in, you know, that creates a sense of competitive excellence that is full of controversy. And hot damn, I just can't shit that I should trademark. Because you know what? I feel like ain't a motherfucker that's going harder than I. No disrespect to your podcast or anybody else, but you know, that I should feel like that because I'm a king on this motherfucker. I'm the Michael Jordan of independent podcasting, and I feel like there's nobody, not a motherfucker, that can shit on me. Call it arrogance, call it cockiness, but you know, Michael Jordan stepped on that basketball court and he demanded nothing less than excellence, and that's how the fuck I treat myself. So when I get on your podcast, as I'm honored, you know, I pride myself in bringing nothing but raw. I can't even talk right now. Wall. I'm like goddamn Elmer Fudd. I've spoken some good shit, y'all. Y'all forgive me. I talk too damn much in this motherfucker. That's how y'all know how their podcast is authentic. Cause a nigga goddamn something over. Did you do did? But I bring raw, you know, authentic, candid, thought-provoking content. So I'm honored.
I and I hold no disrespect because you know you carrying the kingship that you carry. I mean, I should do it my queenship. So I feel like you should believe in yourself to that extent, you know?
Yes, ma'am. Say that. You know.
And
let me give a shout out.
And so
let me give a shout out to because you know, listen, for your listeners, like I told this awesome queen, y'all got to understand when the streets verify y'all. Will verify us as podcasters. It's a whole different dynamic. Now, no, I don't mean I'm on some goddamn John Gotti-ish, though I certainly idolized him growing up because coming from Chicago, shout out to the Chi, it's a mob-related city. What I mean, when you have street certification, when your podcast becomes street authenticated, in my opinion, you're on a very real platform. So like, you know, I don't say this like I'm the shit, but I don't really believe in appearing on a lot of other people's platforms because no shout out to anybody that hears this shit, but if you're not really real, I just don't fuck with you like that.
Right.
Because I don't need nobody to take the shit that I've done in my lifetime. You know, I've if I may be allowed to be transparent, which I'm sure I'm.
Please, I mean, everybody knows me and they know that I'm just as transparent. So please feel free to be nothing but, you
know,
on the show.
Yeah, where I come from, you know, I've certainly gang banged. I've been shot, received two bullets in my body, same incident on the same day, because the Latin King threw down my flag, which means. In layman's terms, it represents the gang sign of my nation, which is GD Folk. He was a Latin King, so I threw down a crown, dude came back around, shot my car up, hit me twice in my back. By the grace of the Most High, him and herself, and I say that for a reason, the him and herself, I say that for a reason, but we'll get into that later.
Okay.
You know, I really realized that day, like, when I looked in at this brown brother's face, and it changed from brown to all black with these yellow beady eyes and shit, no nose, no mouth, and everything really did slow down. I understood that, you know, the devil is real, but I also understood, like, motherfucker, the devil can't fuck with me. And I know some people think that's sick as fuck, but if you're really a god body in the physical form, you got to dance with the devil. Mm. And if you can dance with the devil, you can shit on the devil on some R. Kelly shit. Fuck if y'all don't like the metaphor or not, but in other words, I piss on the devil. So, you know, I'm a Scorpio. I it's not that I'm extra hardcore. No, I don't pride myself on being that type of temperament, but I just feel like there's a certain duality of heaven and hell that exists in all of us, and most people don't really want to acknowledge that, and it doesn't make you a mean-spirited individual. Sometimes you got to use heaven, sometimes you got to use hell to get what you want. That's all.
This is deep, a true statement.
Ooh, we getting deep, girl.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have learned, you and I, over the last, you know, few conversations that we've had leading up to this episode, that that we have. Haven't I told you about this? Like, stop. It's not okay.
Listen, y'all, I'm trying to hold my damn cough in and shit.
Listen, he's not good at it, y'all. He's really a terrible smoker. Okay, I don't know why, but I go through this every time we have a conversation. So y'all just have to excuse him.
Should I get some goddamn ice cream cake, y'all? Listen, shout out to Snoop Dogg, because I'm like Snoop Dogg, I'm like, it's cool, baby. That's like that old school. That's from the Harlem Renaissance era and shit. Skip-a-pi-di-da-pa. You getting all type of.
I'm not sure what to do with you.
Listen, you should have warned your listeners for real. You really should have put out some type of poster to say, "Yo, this nigga is like on some
shit.
Robin Williams crazy type of shit. Like, this motherfucker got multiple comedic skits."
So now you're boasting about your how hilarious you are, basically. Is that what you're boasting
about? If I can't plug myself on your own podcast, what would I be doing?
I don't really know. I could think of a few things, but that is irrelevant to the podcast. So moving forward, I want to talk about your podcast more, because I pulled up, I scrolled through trying to. So we had a conversation. Let's talk about this one, because this is kind of my favorite just because of the concept. And you don't even really know what I'm about to say, which is fun.
Yes.
So we were having a conversation, you and I. Mm-hmm. And the conversation, during the conversation, whether it was relevant to the conversation or not, it came up that I am, you know, I only entertain non-monogamous relationships for a multitude of reasons. And your comment back to me was, well, actually, that's a lie. It was farther down in the conversation. Mm-hmm. You brought up that I had mentioned that, and you said, you should really listen to my podcast on monogamy.
Yes, ma'am.
And you said, after you said that, you know, you said, after you said that about the non-monogamous, mm-hmm. you know, that was your first thought, like, you really need to listen to this.
Yes, ma'am.
And so when you told me that, I was like, oh, he on some non-monogamous shit. And, you know, like, in my head, I'm like, okay, let me listen to the monogamy and let me listen to these, you know, men bash monogamy.
Yes,
and don't get me wrong. I'm pro poly. Yeah. You know, I just believe people should carry whatever truth they carry and stop trying to conform people. Mm-hmm. If, you know, men don't want to be monogamous, then go fucking find a woman who don't want to be monogamous. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of us out here. You know what I'm saying? And if you want the other, then look for the other, but stop making people be something they are not capable of being.
I agree. You know? I agree. Yes, ma'am.
And so I opened this podcast thinking that it was going to be on some bullshit. And, you know, everybody knows, it's not a secret how pro-black I am, which is, you know, one of the mindsets that we have a little differentiating on, but I have mad respect for, you know, where you are.
Sneak that in.
But, you know, so I, don't you like that? You like that? And so I get a lot, and I have a lot of conversations with extreme, as you call them, almost militant. And a lot of them are just like adamantly pro-poly, you know, and there's no other way, kind of, you know, once again, they want us to conform to their truth.
Their ideology.
And look, yeah, I'm pro-poly, but, you know, I'm pro-monogamy too. So, you know, these are just options. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that I am one or not the other. So anyway, I pulled up the podcast expecting, honestly, you know, some bashing about, you know, how nobody should be monogamous. It was the exact opposite of what I anticipated.
Yes, ma'am.
I was floored. Not only that it was you having this conversation with someone, but that you were having the conversation with another black man.
Ma'am.
And y'all were talking about intense, deep, passionate respect of a love between two people.
Yes, ma'am.
And that monogamy shows up when it's intended to show up, basically. I mean, that's the gist of what I got. But I can't tell you how beautiful it was to listen to two black men have a conversation about the importance of, you know, fucking real love, like old school, shy, on the phone, you hang up, no, you hang up, on three, we hang up, you know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of old school love. You know, I wasn't prepared. I'm going to be honest. It's not what I was expecting. And, you know, that's one of yours that, you know, I listened to and I've listened partially. I can't, again, I couldn't go through 161,
yes,
but, and then one of my friends found one as well too. We gonna talk about that one,
sure.
But you know, I want to talk about what you talk about on your podcast.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, and what that looks like, please, because it's intriguing.
Regarding monogamy, shout out to my little bro, Marquill from, I'm high as a motherfucker right now, so I might sound slow as shit, y'all,
yes.
So I apologize, but shit, it is what it is. But shout out to my little bro, Marquill from Unsolicited Opinions with Real People. That's his podcast. Me and this motherfucker, we now listen, there's certain levels to motherfucker, you know, especially being from the shop. So when I say this motherfucker, it's more of endearment, a good motherfucker.
You feel you?
You know what I'm saying? He my little bro. But this motherfucker loved to challenge a motherfucker. Though when I get the clip to this fam, I'm gonna send this shit to you because I'm giving you a shout out, motherfucker. But I got your ass to finally understand a lot of the things I was telling you regarding slavery and regarding conservatism, regarding liberalism, regarding utilitarianism, yada 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 yada. But this brother, you know, smart young king himself. Love is mine. We also got a little episode where me and this motherfucker was high as fuck freestyling and shit. We did. what I wanted to dive into with monogamy, which again, this was my first episode, so to have my little bro on that, the response that I got from that episode was amazing, because and I think it's one that I would always have to refer back to get that sense of, because listen, we all get a little big head when we podcasters, and you know, when you have a nice voice that's meant to be on a microphone, man and or woman, and you hear it a lot, and you hitting these dynamics that, you know, you're meant to hit. I'm gonna keep it 100. You know, we all get a little like shit. I know this. This was supposed to happen. We all get like that. So that episode for me is so pure. It's so for you to touch on that one. shout out to you, because that episode really is the one that I'm like, you know, god damn, we lay that motherfucker the fuck mm-hmm. out with such candor that I don't know if I can ever replicate that. Such unscripted candor that I can never replicate. That motherfucker, he laid his motherfucking end out. I laid mine out. How I mm-hmm. also said how I feel women, you know what I'm saying? And y'all got to check it out on the Crow Show. I'm not gonna plug myself on her platform.
Yeah.
She'll, you know, that, you know, because I respect
you're here.
No, I'll do that toward the end. You know, I respect your platform enough. But that episode was really something that, like I said, I don't think I could ever replicate. So I have to take that episode and say, that still is. I think that one is still my top
beautiful.
One.
It's a beautiful it's episode.
Still, I appreciate that, because it is still my top one. I don't know how him and I even spun that shit that way, because we got some other episodes where I'm over here like, you know what, nigga? Fuck that. You won't let me speak? Fuck that, nigga. I'm getting off the goddamn fuck your podcast, nigga. And I hang up. And I swear to guys, that motherfucking asshole, like I said, you gonna hear this shit, but I love you, motherfucker. But that asshole, I forgot the title you put to that son of a bitch. And I was like, really? You put that shit? He was like, you like that shit? I was like, you dick. Like, you fucking dick, bro. But you gotta love it. Exactly. You gotta love it. Bingo. Listen. You got you damn right, because he's like, guess what, nigga? This my platform, motherfucker. So I get the title of that shit, how the fuck. And you know what? I love it, because I pride myself on having people on that don't necessarily share the same ideals that I have, because that's not real. And if you won't challenge me as a king, then you ain't no goddamn king yourself or a queen yourself.
Right.
Respectfully, we don't need to, you know, be ignorant nor insidious in any way, and treat each other with disregard and disrespect. And he knows that, you know. I'll text him like, man, listen, bro, fuck, bro, you ain't have to goddamn not let me talk. He's like, man, damn, my bad. You know how you be getting like, nigga, you gonna come over and fuck me up, Black Joe Pesci, nigga? I'm like, nigga, fuck you, bro. I'm like, nigga, come over, I'll roll one up. Give you night, nigga. Tuck you in, nigga.
You know, it's so amazing to me, and I guess I'm about to call your ass out, but you're so as hostile and aggressive as you sound.
Jesus.
You're just so, you're so not. I mean, you are, but it's funny you being so hostile.
You, listen,
in my head, I'm like,
listen. To your listeners, they call me Torch for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Here's why. They call me Torch because I'm very quick to pop the fuck off. And you can take the however you like it, take it. But I mean that you know, I mean, I'm, listen, you mix that with the Scorpio. Listen, here, let's go ahead and get, let's look, let's do this. First do this. crack that Corona. Forgive me for having cans, but goddamn Walmart didn't have bottles.
A can,
so fuck y'all.
Instead of a
fuck
bottle.
Y'all.
On your
you
birthday,
bougie,
no you, doubt. On your birthday,
look,
your boy.
Look, your bougie ass listeners, fuck all y'all for over here laughing because I cracked goddamn a can open of Corona. Goddamn, they ain't had no damn glass bottles. Fuck y'all.
Man.
I'm just playing. I'm just playing.
But damn, course. But listen, I got a couple. Drink OE, so well, you know.
Jesus, goddamn! Well, you got 40 ounces in this bitch. Look! If you can see me, I'm over here like the old grandma. Heavens to Betsy! I'm like closing her robe.
No.
Jesus Christ, honey, ooh, please close the shades. This is ridiculous. she put up with her homies with 40 ounces of Saint Ides in their hand.
Saint Ides and all.
Jesus, honey, please.
I used to drink Saint Ides. Why are you bullshitting now? Let's not get crazy about it. Okay,
remember,
I used to. Yeah, that was some good.
Remember the mixtape they had put out with
You know what?
Who else was on that shit? I think Dr. Dre, the Dog Pound.
Oh God! Oh God!
You got it with one of the bottles. Listen, that was good times back then. But, you know, my attitude is
refocus.
Right?
Yeah, refocus. Like, we're talking Scorpio, getting shit out the way, popping a beer. You know, refocus.
You know, to me, the reason why. Pardon me as I belch. Excuse me. Ghetto Fabulous, what have you. But the reason why I'm like Torch is because, you know, growing up, there was child molestation from my cousin. She was 14, I was 8. We got caught, of course. I immediately got blamed until my mommy looked in my eyes. And with me pleading as if my life fucking depended on it, realize, okay, your little ass ain't lying. My mom was verbally abusive. I like to say moderately, if there's such a term, moderately physically abusive. Mm-hmm. There were there were spankings, whoopings that were shit. There were whoopings that were a little excessive. In my opinion, God damn it. That I feel like I didn't really deserve. You know, I was a mouthy little son of a bitch. I mean, that's why I have a podcast. We get it. Shout out to my mom, because I understand that. I'm apologizing, I'm over here tearing up. I understand that, you know, there you don't get an instruction manual with how to raise a mouthy Scorpio who is the core that came out.
Oh, I was going to say we didn't hear that.
You don't get an instruction manual how to, you know, raise a mouthy Scorpio who is very in tune with the elemental aspects of living. And I came with a challenge, you know. But there were a lot of ass whoopings, naked ass whoopings that I felt like I didn't deserve. Whoopings out in the street in front of my friends. Demasculation. You know, shut the fuck up. Stop crying. I give you something to cry about. Fuck you, a girl. Stop that pussy ass crying. Shit like that. But you know what? Hey, that's Chicago talk. you deal with the shit. It is what it is. You know, hey, it is what it is. I mean, listen, look, strong black queen, you know, sometimes you got a mouthy motherfucker. I didn't want to be over here tearing up, but you got a mouthy motherfucker that sometimes, you know, shit, I mean, I get it, you know, sometimes it's like, don't question every goddamn thing. Just go look it up yourself. And that was my mommy's thing. But anyhow, let's not stay on that. And then there's my daughter's mother, who has chose to, because I sold a shitload of goddamn drugs, but never had a problem with us going to motherfucking Woodfield Mall in Schaumburg, and motherfuckers that got good drug money know what that shit costs to go there and spend money at Victoria's Secret. Buy my daughter a pair of diamond earrings when she was 3 months old. Goddamn shopping around for motherfucking Olympic Jordans because she had to goddamn have them. All them shits with all my goddamn good old dope money, never had a damn problem, but it was always a problem to send my seed down to Florida. It let me be a major part of my daughter's life. Where I'm going with this for your listeners, I hope a lot of y'all women understand this shit. This is some real shit I'm about to give y'all. Women can fuck up a motherfucking man's mind. Especially when he's a very intelligent, in tune with energy, in tune with frequencies, in tune with vibrational waves of life. Because I understand that women are the Alpha and the Omega. And I'm going to say it like this. I'm a real... I got to be careful on this one. I'm a real motherfucker that doesn't believe in obstacles. I eliminate obstacles. So, gee, motherfuckers will understand that. But when it comes to a woman, she's an Alpha and Omega, so I can't really remove the obstacle the way I know how to remove an obstacle. And you have to endure the certain treatment from a woman who's the Alpha and the Omega in your life, who has your child especially, because that is the one that stings me the most. That is why I don't smile. That is why I walk around like I just, not necessarily don't give a shit, but I walk around like, you know, I don't wear my emotions on my sleeve, because I feel like a woman who was your first girlfriend when you were 9 and she was 8, if she can hold such a grudge, no matter what the fuck you've done other than harm you all's child, harm her, psychologically, it is very confusing. So women, for any of you all listening, you know, no matter how much you may not like the motherfucker that was your first boyfriend, or no matter how much you may not like that motherfucker because he cheated as I did, nothing really constitutes or warrants you to play the game of chess and treat the baby like a pawn. Because after 9 years of not being allowed to see my daughter, when I popped the fuck up back home in Kell Park, Illinois, it was like seeing a ghost. Because I had to let that queen know, that queen being my daughter's mother, and she's a great mother. Maybe not the greatest co-parent, but I will go to war for her as being a great mother, because my daughter's not fucked up. We don't have no damn teenage pregnancies. I will give my daughter's mother her props. I want all you black sisters to hear this shit. I will give my daughter's mother her prop. I want all white sisters to hear this, Asian sisters, every woman to hear this shit, because not every man can be as real as I am. I give my daughter's mother her rightful fucking props, because she, though she didn't allow me to have the pivotal relationship I feel like our daughter should have had with me, she raised a magnificent princess, and I would never strip my daughter's mother of that, ever. I just don't feel like her co-parenting mechanisms were where they should have been, and it hurts, because I can never get that shit back. And women don't necessarily understand, you know, sure, you're hurting the child too, but like, you got crazy motherfuckers like me, man, that really have to suppress certain fucked up ass thoughts when you fucking with my child, man, for real, you know. Because just like a woman's a lioness, I'm a goddamn lion, and that's my baby girl,
right? Know? Exactly.
But there you have it. That's that. So that's why Torch comes out of that. You know, I'm quick to pop off, man. You know, life's, you know, my old man transitioned at 46. My mommy transitioned at 51. Life's too short to fuck around, you know? So there you have
it. Yes, I completely agree with that statement. And so I'm saying, and I know some of the things, I got a million things to say to you. You know how this works. So I'm going to try to do my best to backtrack. Number one, let me just tell you that for me in this, first of all, let me say this. You can say whatever the fuck you want to on this podcast, okay? Because I know that I have listened to your podcast, but what I also know is that you have not listened to any of mine. So you don't really know, but people have to understand, I literally just found your podcast yesterday and had a couple conversations with you. So that people understand, normally I interact several times with my guests before I have them on there, just, you know, to get a feel. But I couldn't wait to get you on here and have these conversations. But you're totally able to say whatever it is, female related, male related, black related, non-black related. It makes me no difference. Like, please there's no difference in the conversation that we have off this. I need you to speak your truth at all times, because that's the only thing that is okay for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm about being authentic and being raw, and I don't need somebody on here being polite, okay? Because I'm not.
Say that.
To the audience, to whoever, but you got to be nice to me. But I want to say a few things about everything that you just said. With the utmost respect, with you talking about your mother and sharing that story, as a mother, currently in this moment, like the healing that just came from this conversation, I don't think you understand, because when I'm listening to you speak about what happened, the fact that you hold as much responsibility that you do for the behavior of your mother at the time makes me want to get off this phone and call my seeds and have another conversation with them about who I was at the time and the things that they endured, even though I have repeatedly spoken to them about my old behaviors and took a responsibility for the wounds that I created in them. I don't know if I ever said to them, my behavior is, you were never responsible for, never, ever, ever responsible in any way, shape, or form. I don't know if I said those words. And I will tell you this, that I truly believe if your mother had lived longer than she would have said that to you if she didn't. She would have that if she hasn't already before she passed.
We definitely, all praise to the Most High. Her and my old man, definitely thank God reconciliation was already, had already occurred. So yeah, no, she, my mom, we went out to breakfast and she looked me in my eyes and she said, shit, I really apologize for, cussing you out, whooping your ass and the way I did. Yeah. And yes, you all black mamas say it just like that. Whooping my ass the way she did. I told her, I said, listen, I dig. I said, I told her straight up, you didn't get a manual. I stole car emblems off of cars. Goddamn snuck out when we moved to Lynnwood. And my mother, listen, y'all, my mother had her own restaurant called J&J Fish, 7831 South Halsted. My fascination with the color green came because my mommy had me counting money and balancing her books every freaking night, staying up late and then having to go to school the next damn day. I was her AR and her AP, full cycle. Dig that. And here I am, a young lad up here counting bread, 5, 6, 7,000. And then my mommy would have me go take that downstairs and she had this little stash spot where it was the bar and you kind of slightly lift up the countertop and slide it over, and then like the inside was hollow, but it was bricks all around, but it was hollow inside of that. So she would have me stuff her bread down there and then like push it back, and then bada bing, bada boom, everything is good. So like my fascination with my mom, like my mother, this my mother to me is still the greatest woman I've ever known in my lifetime. She will always be that. My daughter's the second. And that's no disrespect to my seed. But come on, obviously. A part two for your listeners would be why my grandmother didn't make that list, but it is not disrespect, but it's a whole different. I know people are like, well, goddamn, bro. What you... Jesus.
Like, what kind of shit
what's you wrong been with through, this guy? But
this is where all of your podcasts come from too, correct? Am I correct in saying that? Oh, okay, not all. A lot of your podcasts come from this pain and childhood trauma, if you will. These conversations that you have on here, and you can correct me because I'm not going to get it right, but you have one called PUSSY, I think. More than that, like I know you had it as acronyms, but it's pussy. But I'm saying, you know, you had the acronyms.
I should look it up real fast, but that one also is with Lil Bro Marquill. That one was really about this shit was a good goddamn scenario. This shit was about
this was about, man, dating outside of your race.
And so, yes, you know,
yes, wait.
That conversation was real because of what he said. And it was like, you know, to me, oh god damn, I do not mean to offend any woman when I say this shit, but I'm like, yo, as long as it's pink and it don't stink, I'm in there like swimwear. I'm sorry. You told me to be Look, hold on.
You can't hold on. Tell your truth and then apologize, Carl.
Let me do it like this. As long as it's pink and it don't stink,
do it like this.
I'm in there like swimwear.
Yeah.
Good. Woo! Jesus. We about to have, church up here, y'all. I'll be doing that. Like I'll be teasing your boy Keith Sweat. Yes, I'm going off tangent. I don't give a shit. I'll be teasing Keith Sweat and shit. Yeah. I love you, baby. It's a sweat hotel. Or look, your boy Devontae swing and shit. Lay back, baby. Like he does a look, you about to get some followers tonight, mommy.
Oh god, I can't. Okay, a lot of women apparently, because that this is gonna get off. Sexy man was on my show.
That's why he had me on here. She really wanted me to talk like this the entire time.
Please don't.
Look, the whole interview would change now, shit, right? So,
yeah. Well, I mean, not the platform for it, okay?
So, what was it you wanted to ask me? Look, you fuck up. Look, you know I'm not right. You fuck up a whole person's goddamn interview with that. So you know, I was wondering, what is it that you had in mind that you would like to ask me?
And you know, you on right, so you keep playing with it. If you keep playing with it, we gonna go there.
Are you taking notes with your pen on paper?
If you had any idea what I was doing right now, you know
I'm not right. Your listeners about to be like, this asshole, what minute mark was that, bitch? Let me turn that shit right back there. Look, that nigga can say the goddamn alphabet. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. Girl, that nigga.
Ladies, that was at 43 minutes. Look, right, 42 seconds.
Girl, that nigga just said the alphabet, girl. This girl.
Listen. It'll be the next TikTok phenomenon.
Let me get some voiceovers in this bitch. I'm sorry, I've taken over your whole questionnaire and everything.
Did we have one really? No. I'm allowing you to, you know, express yourself.
Apparently,
like I said, you got a lot of
161.
When I hit you up,
girl.
Yeah, 161, and I have to tell listeners this: when I hit this dude up, it was a freak. I saw a freak thing. Like I.
weird things. Oh, you good?
You talk about transparency, so now we gonna get into it. You tell it like it's real. I'm sure your listeners want to know what time it is.
Okay. So, all right, fine. So, unbeknownst to me, several months ago, probably longer, I became an unsolicited admin on a group that I was in. And I knew the person that runs the group. His name's Teddy Ray. And I knew him as a Facebook acquaintance. I knew him through another activist. He's pro-black, doesn't really describe. He's just brutally honest and but about his truth. And if you even look sideways at it, he's, you know, brutal, you know, and talk. But anyway, he's a cool ass cat. And me and him have had multiple conversations about black liberation, amongst other things. But that's mostly been my contact with him. So anyway, these notifications just come through like they're crazy. This person wants to put a post up. Can you approve or disapprove? And for like maybe a week, I was doing it thinking it was an error and, you know, whatever. And it didn't go away. It never, nonetheless, I haven't done it for months. I haven't pulled up any of it. I just ignore the shit and move on. I go on. I don't have time. So yesterday, for whatever reason, your little thing pops up. Please approve or disapprove this message on this website, you know, this thing. So there, and it's you and it's your podcast promoting it on this page. And I'm like, so then I go start looking and researching. I say, oh, I need to talk to this cat. Like this cat, me and him need to have a conversation. He needs to be on my podcast. You know what I'm saying? So I hit, we're on the same platform, both on Anchor. That's my home base. Ma'am. And I think that's his, things yours too, right? And I hit you up. Keep calling me, ma'am, to see what happened. I hit him up on his, on Anchor, a voice message. So this is early in the morning too, if I'm not mistaken. And and I hit him up on, and I sent him a message, real quick message. Like, hey, ran across your podcast.
Gonna rip really your clothes love to have off a
conversation
you.
With you. You know, maybe
threw you for a loop. Listen, y'all really thought this was gonna be some old like straight up scripted. So on page 56, she reached out to me with a proper greeting, with
not today
a formality that I could not resist, and I was.
It was proper.
Yes, ma'am. It was.
It was proper. It was very proper and very professional.
Yes, ma'am. It was.
And it was about 30 seconds. Next thing I know, I have a 48-second message. Then I have a 57-second message in my Anchor box. Then I have a notification that I have a message outside of my regular inbox on Messenger.
Girl.
And this man said, the last thing he says on like the last of the four audio messages that he sends me, he says, I talk a lot.
Right? You don't say. Really,
Tim was. He said all. I said.
Shit. Look. Shit. You think, motherfucker? God damn. Shit. I got the right platform for you to come on, Mr. Talkative. God damn. Shit, motherfucker. Look, I give you 50 seconds. You taking 4 minutes. Jeez Louise.
Here. I mean, listen, I definitely have to talk to him. Well, that
could you imagine, like, and I mean, me growing you know, up, you know, my mom, that's what I'm saying. I get some of my ass whoopings because it's like, God damn it, didn't I tell you? Look, remember I said, like, when a mom talks through her fucking teeth, listen, motherfucker, I done told you, God damn it. You got one more motherfucking time. And like you at the register, she looks up, how much is that gonna be? With a fucking smile. And you're looking like, what in the fuck? Mm-hmm. And she looks back at you and changes her. Now try me, motherfucker. Try me. Mm. I will break your goddamn finger in this bitch. Oh, there's a sale. Oh, God is good. Look back at you. Mm, motherfucker. fuck you see. Look, you see that? God's good. Don't get fucked up. You like Jesus. I used to look at the cashier was like, help. Like you're like trying, right?
Please, someone call the police.
Help me.
she looks back, what are you doing? Nothing, mother. Nothing. You funny now, huh? Like I feel Eddie Murphy. I'm serious. Like I was, because my old man, he got caught cheating. You know, my papa got caught cheating. She beat his ass, threw him out. You know, so I wanted to make my mommy smile. So, you know, I try to find ways to, after she would have a hard day at work, because I learned how to cook at the age of 7. Because my grandmother, shout out to Vera May, my granny, she would, the age of 7, she taught me how to cook because I was always asking, how do you do that? Why? Why is the temperature this? Why? Why? Like she was goddamn shit, you know, so she got me a chair. And as she would say, I'm gonna learn you how to cook, not teach you. I'm gonna learn you how to cook, because she's from Arkansas. I always wanted to make my mommy smile, like no matter what. Like I'm a mommy's boy, you know, even though she's resting in comfort, but in the spirit form, you know, I'm a mommy's boy still, and I've seen her orb once, and I know she's with me. I don't do all that old, oh, somebody please give a shout out to my mom, it's her birthday. Fuck that. If you want to be real, and I'm going off tangent, but that shit cracks me up with people. If you want to be fucking real, why don't you fucking just talk to your fucking mom? Why do you need everybody? Your mom never met that person, Joe. Like, that shit cracks me up with people. That's a whole different episode too, but like, that shit cracks me up.
Ooh,
like,
a whole different
episode. You don't understand. I'm missing my mom. I'm like, well, talk to her. Like, what? So anyhow, you know, I just feel like I'm on a different level. No, not sidetracked, but
sidetracked.
I'm on a different level.
You are on a different level.
You know, like people don't understand. Like, you know, man, I really just don't get why people trip on ethnicities and diversities, and you know, motherfucker, I want to make money with everybody, as we say, everybody, not everybody, everybody, as we say in the Midwest, like. You got to understand that shit, man. I don't give a fuck about the color of your fucking skin, man. Can we make sound of business investments? I'm thinking these three letters, ROI. What does that stand for? Return on investment. That's what I think about people.
Return on investment. Well, and this is why you're on my show, because for a multitude of reasons, because I'm very pro-black, and I'm very pro-black business, and I'm very pro-black everything. I mean, I deal with black yes, I am. I deal with black investors. I deal with black contractors. As long as I can stay in the black community, as far as where I go, where I eat, those. I'm not saying that 100% of my life is orchestrated around black business, but it is. However, it's at this point in what is exists as reality, there's no way for it to be 100% black, mm-hmm. one way or the other, because mm-hmm. that's not where we are as a society. I don't have a problem, because I don't, it's not like I believe in separation and, you know, anything crazy. I don't have a problem with you doing what you're doing at all. Like I'm totally actually on board. If you know what I'm saying, that you are looking at it as a human race coming up and building and creating wealth and, you know, all of those things. And I normally have people that don't have my mindset on my show. You're probably one of the first people. Well, that's not true. I have another gentleman, but he is very pro-black still, even in his fight for equality. Excuse me. When it comes to that, we have very different mindsets about that.
Come on, give it to me.
But you and I, in the short conversations that we've had, we've never had like a conflict about that part of it. It's never been like we had to, hold on a minute and just let me tell you this. You have expressed yourself to me. I have expressed myself to you. I've expressed my respect for how you stand and where you are with it. You know what I'm saying? Yes, please. Yes, you're so nice.
Ooh. Smart woman. I like that. God damn, I like that. You good. Y'all like the way you slipped that shit to there?
Of course you would.
Yeah. Pun intended. Damn right. That's a good segue. I got that. Ooh, that's a good segue. Wow. Ooh, you got tears in my eyes. And not a bad way, because I'm like, damn, that is a magnificent segue how you did that. Props. Yes. Ooh, goodness gracious, the way you put me on the line. I like this. I like this. Ooh-wee. So, I'm a utilitarian. I believe that I don't believe in Crayola colors. Pardon me. I believe that this was a formula. Ooh, you about to let me have fun with this. This was a formula that the government put in the days back in slavery, where, and I stress this, and any motherfucker could challenge me on this. I love it. I took applied ethics, so I know how to debate in a proper manner. I want someone to fucking sell me on the ideology that you would ever, after being sold by your tribal king, be allowed to allow a white man to, yes, that was a double negative, whatever, have a white man sit up here and take a whip, who's frumpy as fuck, threaten you with it after you have been around lions, hippopotami, rhinoceros, and you don't know what the dialogue is. You're threatened by this book that you don't know what the fuck is. It's called the Bible. He's raping your, if not your wife, your tribal men, if I'm saying that correctly, wife, what have you, and you somehow don't think to, let's kill a motherfucker, but you are not afraid of lions, again, hippopotami and rhinoceros, but you're afraid of this white man. Where I'm going with this, so many people really, I think they get so obscured by bullshit ass history, because I can sell a motherfucker and say I got a goddamn Lamborghini sitting outside, and if I dress the part, you'll never motherfucking know whether I'm lying or not. And you could put anything in a motherfucking book, but the reality is, if my eyes don't see them shits, you got to sell me on that shit. Nah, my grandmother has told me that she's stood by her mother, my great grandmother, picking cotton. I have yet to have someone tell me about the days of slavery. I've mentioned that there have been black slave owners, which again would contradict that if we're arriving over here by the boatloads, how are we having black slave owners? So there's a lot of things that history intently does to obscure people's vision. And when you have your third eye open, you understand. Like me, I tell people I'm all about the Q agenda. I'm all about the where we go one, we go all. That to me stands for utilitarianism. You know, I love to tell my black brothers and sisters that if you really believe in the Most High, then you can't believe in such a form of separatism where it's only about a black movement, but not the edification and upliftment of other ethnicities of equality. That makes no fucking sense. You can't, how can you, Allah doesn't sit up here and say, well, hey, I like only my Arabic speaking Muslim, so the rest of y'all fuck off. No, come on, man, it makes no sense. So how can you, you know, how can you think that it's okay to say, well, I'm all about the black power movement. I'm all about, you know, hashtag black love. I'm all about, you know, everything black excellence. Why can't it just be goddamn excellence? Why does it have to have this Crayola color? Because if y'all do y'all research, black actually means dark and evil. And if I look at my goddamn, listen, I got on some black Adidas jogging pants. Them shits is black as fuck, Joe. I put my arm next to these motherfuckers, man. This my goddamn arm ain't looking like these motherfucking jogging pants, Joe. So I don't understand how somebody can really say I'm black other than the fact that the government created this Crayola color label as a way to perpetuate cycles of division and separatism. That's it, racial separatism. Two Crayola colors, black and white. And we keep buying into that shit more and more. And what are we doing? Like, you know, so I don't know, people have to wake up. I mean, I guess it's cool to be militant. If that works for you, that's all gravy, but that shit just don't work for me. And I'll be 100 and tell anybody that shit. You can call me whatever you want to call me, but like, you know, if I cut somebody open that's not the same tanned complexion as I, they're gonna bleed fucking red. So how the fuck does that make a person any less equal, man and or woman, than I? Child, baby, what have you, teenager, what have you. How does that make that person any less equal than I? It doesn't. It doesn't make that. And listen, here's some real shit for your audience too. I'm about to give you, listen, you gotta have some good followers on this shit. This bullshit ass hashtag Black Lives Matter, listen, that's black supremacy. And here's why I say that. When I see commercials, when I see commercials, hey, ooh, listen, I'm gonna give y'all, listen, again, y'all wanna send me messages on Instagram, it's at The Crow Show. Twitter, Torch the Poet. No problem. I'm thought provoking because I'm a real ass motherfucker. So when I feel like this, if you can't challenge the narratives that really are being perpetuated, you said it, the Harry Truman story. Come on, like, listen, man, shit is easy to fucking play with somebody's mindset. It's not that hard. It's not. And we're seeing social media really, really have a great hand at doing that shit. So now, y'all can check this out. I forgot her fucking name. There's a goddamn robot. She has like 3 million followers. Fuck, I forgot her fucking name. And she says that she's a robot. Tracy Ellen Ross, of all people. Yes, Diana Ross' daughter has a picture with this robot. There's a lot of agendas being pushed that, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna sit up here and worry about someone else's ethnicity when I see certain agendas that are being pushed on a whole that is going to work against the American people. I don't have time to worry about how tanned you are. I mean, that is not an activist. That is not a leader. And I pride myself on being both. And if you are, you lead for the entire motherfucking nation, man. You lead for the collusion of everyone. Not because, you know what, oh, I'm black and it's all about the black agenda. I don't see that shit. And I, you know, listen, I get called a lot of motherfucking names and certain shits in my inbox. And I'm like, yo, once you realize who the fuck I'm affiliated with, we can,
I'm sure you,
you know, but da-da-da-da-da, as we say back in Chicago, Joe, I don't really give a fuck because I'm sorry. I don't believe in, my mother didn't raise me like that. Like I said, she had me counting thousands. You think I give a fuck what color you are? Because she had every type of person coming in there to eat her motherfucking fish. And I don't mean literally, you sons of bitches.
You know what?
But you know what I'm saying? Like, who cares? Like, what are we doing worrying about? Well, this is the black agenda because white folks. I've never had a problem with white folks because in Chicago, and I think any Chicagoan who will hear this episode will relate to this shit. guess what? Back home, it wasn't white folks I was worried about shooting me up, motherfucker. It was motherfuckers that was black and Latino. It wasn't no motherfucking white person that I ever had to worry about. Ever. And not because, you know, they just wasn't capable. I don't know. I just never... I never had a problem with a white brother or sister. With prejudice, any form of racism at all, or any type of threat of shooting at me. Ever. The police are scared of motherfuckers back home in Chicago. So, like I tell people, that bullshit ass Black Lives Matter bullshit, they don't ever say shit about the baby that was shot from that stray bullet. The baby was born 5 days ago. I don't ever hear anyone chant that baby's name or the goddamn teenager who was shot. One of my boys who I had on my podcast, his daughter, and shout out to Shoebox, AKA Bronco. My man's up in the damn Bing doing his thing. His daughter was shot. She lost a goddamn eye. Y'all don't understand what's going on in my city. I was shot. You know what I mean? I still have a bullet down there on the right side of my motherfucking neck in between my clavicle, AKA shoulder bone, or whatever the fuck that's, collarbone, my stone ass, my collarbone, whatever. People don't realize that these bullshit movements are distractions for a lot of people to forget about what's really going down, because black on black crime is the main problem. And I don't know why motherfuckers don't want to address that rather than trying to front off acting like they're so goddamn militant. Address that shit. Y'all want to get on my platform and talk to me? Listen, me and my mans from inside the goddamn Bing, we over here trying to start a real movement where we're providing Thanksgiving dinners on November 14th. Anybody that want to get at me, you can get at me, please, by all means, or get at my queen right here through her, whatever. But like, the real shit is, if you want to be about some real empowerment within your community, why the fuck aren't none of y'all motherfuckers stopping a lot of this damn violence, man? This shit ain't that hard. I got an easy ass plan how to solve this shit. But motherfuckers don't really want to hear that shit. And it's a platform that I seen back home in Chicago, which is based on providing for the community that, yeah, a lot of drugs was being pumped out of, but you know what? They provided for the community. Christmas gifts, goddamn Thanksgiving dinners, a sense of economic empowerment from a certain stance, pay motherfuckers off to be quiet, whatever. Who gives a fuck? Shit works like that in Chicago. It is what it is. But all these militant motherfuckers don't want to provide economic bullet points, if you will, that's going to provide the type of sustainability that will provide communities to feel empowered, to feel the ability to uplift themselves. How the fuck you gonna try to teach people how to uplift themselves when there's no fucking education involved in how to obtain wealth, how to day trade with stocks? How you gonna provide that shit when you ain't telling these motherfucking young kids, hey man, don't do like I did? You know, I got popped off on U.S. Customs, or pardon me, by U.S. Customs on a cruise ship coming back in. You know what I'm saying? On real talk, on a fucking cruise ship with my ex. They came knocking the motherfucking door. The cruise ship docked back at fucking Fort Lauderdale. That shit wasn't fun. They walked me out like I'm some goddamn Pablo Escobar, and I was like, can y'all at least put something over my fucking handcuffs? It was embarrassing. It's nothing fucking fun. It sucks. It was a total embarrassment to have my ex looking at me like, Jesus. I mean, she knew what, you know, listen, we lived together, so she knew what time it really was. I mean, the sad part is what they set me up with and got me a felony for was a disrespect to me, because I'm like, if you only knew how much shit I really had. But I think they did what they did because I kind of caught on, blah, 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 another episode. But listen.
We're up to four now, at least, just so you know. I just want to be clear that. I already know. You've called out about four different episodes. We have to continue this.
I just want people.
Oh, did you?
Okay. Like, I want people to realize, you know, like, man, look, man. I got my third eye open. And like, I don't give a fuck who the fuck you put in the office. I'm still motherfucking tuned into the goddamn streets, so it don't really matter to the point that the shit don't never stop my cash flow. And I don't mean illegally. I'm saying, listen, real motherfuckers make money. That shit y'all seeing going on is a goddamn theatrical performance, because real people still make money. You better believe motherfuckers don't give a fuck. They got to pay a damn extra tax. Who gives a fuck? Everything's a write-off when you got enough money. Who cares? Who really cares? But there's certain agendas being pumped.
Right.
To the American people. That you ever seen the movie Trading Places with Eddie Murphy? Okay, I feel like the elites, yes, amongst all of our countries have a bet to see what country can economically collapse the quickest and psychologically be damaged the quickest. and there's a bet. Because it doesn't make any sense. Your audience, they can look up Event 201 with Bill Gates. Pardon me, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. There was a plandemic, which he had people there that did a mock pandemic in October, I believe. Either October or December 2019. One of those months. I apologize for not knowing exactly the month. I'm not being sarcastic. I also believe this. If anyone got a flu shot within 3 to 5 years, I feel like these 5G towers that are being erected, the radiation sets this lab-created coronavirus, or pardon me, COVID-19 virus off by the radiation towers, because it doesn't, like me, I haven't had a flu shot in I don't know how long, but the people I've talked with, my boy just got over, I just seen the nigga today. Like literally handing him his order for his canine cuisines. Just seen him. And before that, he had the COVID-19 2 weeks. And he's the second person. There's another customer of mine. She had the same thing. I gave her a goddamn hug. Nothing happened to me. Not a fucking thing happened to me.
I've never gotten a flu shot. However, there's a good possibility I got COVID, but it was before they could test me, so I have no.
I'm just trying to prove
your point.
From my man, shout out to my man. I had him on my episode, or pardon me, on my podcast, Jaron R. Hall, the author, The Quarantine Secret. I blew his mind with the shit I was saying. He was like, "Yo, that shit makes sense." Listen, people, they're putting you a hot mess. They're erecting 5G towers within a 1 mile radius of each other. That is like putting you inside of a goddamn microwave oven. There's a plan. And you better believe that I will be talking about that on my podcast, about how I feel like there's a plan where imagine theoretically. You got all these motherfuckers that are colluding to fuck us up. We're all expendable experiments, people. We are. We're all expendable experiments.
I agree that that is a possibility.
Enough money, you have people that are willing to say, shit, fuck it. I gave you so much content.
Right. Literally. You gave me so much content. I mean, it really was irrelevant to anything we were supposed to be talking about. But, you know, I can't do
hot
anything.
Hot mess, everybody. She's
a
hot mess.
What can I do? I mean, I love it. I'm not upset by any of it. I'm not upset about any of it. I can't lie. You were supposed to be talking about anything your beautiful little heart desired. I wanted people to see exactly... Like, this is much, people that know me know, and the people that come on that where there's not like an actual question answer, understand that these are the type of conversations that I want to have. I don't want to be scripted. I don't want you to have something where you can sit down and, oh, let's do this and go. I just want to talk to you. I just want to talk to people about, because here's how I feel at the end of the day, and we're going to close on this because I've never gone this long on a podcast. So, but at the end of the day, the reality is that all of our truths don't have to be the same. But it'd be great if there was in some way, shape, or form that they could line up and produce mass change, whatever that looks like. So if I want to be pro-Black and I want to push a Black movement, then that's what I do. And if you want to be a Unitarian and push a Unitarian movement, feel free, you know? And if there's some white people like Jane Elliott who wants to work on white people's heart and them changing their minds, hey, get your ass up and go do it. Feel free. You know what I'm saying? Because right now, the way that things are, there's enough shit going down and there's enough bullshit happening that everybody could get up and do some type of movement to make a change that would affect either a group of people or an entire human race. It doesn't matter to me. You understand what I'm saying? Because if I'm effective, if you're effective, if gay rights are effective, if women rights are effective, if Black liberation is effective, if Unitarianism is effective, name it. If all of those things eventually become effective, right? And there's a paradigm shift then that happens in all of us. Mm-hmm. And it can't be for anything other than for good. At that point, then we can talk about who the fuck cares about who the fuck what. But until everyone is on some type of platform or some type of mindset or open themselves up, their third eye, all of their chakras, Buddhism, I don't really care. I tell people this all the time. I don't give a fuck what you do, bruh. I don't care. Okay, it doesn't matter to me what religion you are. It doesn't matter to me about anything. What matters to me, and I've said this a million times, is the melanin in your skin and your right to fight for it. And my right to fight for it if that's what I choose to do. Also, if you are unmelanated and you wanna, feel free to fight for whatever right you think you don't fucking have as an unmelanated person. Feel fucking free if that's what you wanna do. Stay out my lane, but do what you wanna do. But your movement to me is just as important.
Even though you're not on board
with mine, that doesn't make me stop
no,
doing.
No, hold on.
Hey, don't do that. You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying.
It's not that I'm not. Look,
it's cool. It's totally cool. I get it. I understand.
Here's what I feel like. And I don't mean to interrupt you, but No, I don't. But I want people to realize the way that they protest with this Kumbaya, my Lord bullshit. You know why it's not working? The very same police officer who's standing there in riot gear, who you're calling names and calling a sellout if he or she is of color. Guess what? They're getting paid hazard pay. That's three times their pay. Have many of you all ever thought about this from a capitalistic venture standpoint? So guess what you're doing? Because you all keep sitting up here wanting to be out there. Fuck you, stupid pig. Fuck 12. That's why they don't react to you motherfuckers, because they're getting paid goddamn $90 a fucking hour. So for I've always said this, and I'm passionate about this shit. If you really want to do shit from, again, a utilitarian standpoint, because you have every ethnicity out there doing this Kumbaya, my Lord bullshit. If you want to do something, stop spending your American dollar for at least 1 hour, if not 24. Because guess what, except for small businesses only, guess what it does to the fucking Wall Street? It will cause an economic collapse like no other. Because that Kumbaya, you're funding the Walmarts, the Targets, because you have to go in there and get water and certain snacks and whatever to provide you with sustenance. Mm-hmm. And the cops, again, they're getting funded. So it's really an oxymoron what you're doing. You're working against the whole agenda of working against, quote unquote, what's going on with 12 and all. It's like, come on, people. You're falling into these systematic traps that are perpetuating cycles that, you know what, if you get real goddamn money, listen, you got motherfuckers in Buckhead and other type of fucking predominantly Black Southern places that I guarantee you, they ain't motherfucking looking at this shit like, yo, I don't give a fuck, I'm gonna make my money how I make my money. Because the reality is, can't nobody stop you on, the president doesn't have that much power, people. That's the whole point of you have the Congress, you have legislative, executive, and judiciary. Ugh, tongue twister. Those are all checks and balances, people. So I don't know why everybody gets in an uproar over the fucking president when we've only had 10 seated black senators in the entire history of politics and seated senators. 10. We've had 13 Hispanic and Latino seated senators. 9 Asian and Pacific Islander seated senators in the history of politics. Wake the fuck up. Y'all keep worrying about other shit that you don't understand. If you don't get it at a different level, it would never change because it's a fucking formula. It's like goddamn math. So everybody can do all this. I'm all about the black agenda, but motherfucker, you ain't going to the core. How many people you know have ever told you what I just told you about? There's been 10 seated black senators in the entire existence since the ramification of the 15th Amendment in 1870. Bingo. Bingo.
No one.
I dig. And I'm talking about I dig and do research because I'm like, I want to know what's really going down. 1787, politics was created. I'm all about the Jacksonian principles when it comes to, it was banking and patronage. I'm all about that. A lot of motherfucking people in general, not just blacks, and then and we'll wrap this up because I know I'm talking too much, but a lot of, hey, I'm giving nuggets. A lot of people in general won't do their due diligence because they're getting this shit from trending wannabe pop-up political analyst.
I absolutely agree with that 100%. I absolutely agree with that 100%.
It has been a pleasure.
By any means. By any means. It has been my and a pleasure to let you ramble on my show about all of the vast things that are in your brain that need to come out. Because you you have a lot of shit to say, and I'm not mad about it. And I want to say this in closing, and for real, we're closing. You're not going to talk to me after this, okay? Because you're bad about that. I think that black folks, black men especially, have a lot of shit to say, and it's not heard on whatever platform that it needs to be on, in whatever avenue or venue, you know, they need it to be on. But I think that it doesn't get put out there. And that was my whole point today is, you know, the last couple of times that I talked to you and when I'm listening to you on your podcast and I talk to a lot of brothers. Okay. I look on and off my podcast and, you know, I deal with a lot of brothers in my life and, you know, that's just how I'm surrounded. And so, you know, I think that a lot, but especially with you, you know, I just felt like you had a lot of shit to say. Like your life story is amazing and how you have empowered yourself through your podcast and being transparent and letting everybody know what your life story is. You know, like some people don't even understand until they hear you say that you were molested by your cousin and you were to blame initially. You know what I'm saying? Some people don't even understand that would be considered trauma because, you know, there's a narrative being pushed in the community that, you know, that it's cool to be 8 years old and get fucked by your whatever, not fucked, but whatever happens, you know, I mean, your dick sucked, your face fucked, whatever, by your, you know, older sibling or by the lady at church or, you know, and it's, oh, I lost my virginity. No, you did not lose your virginity. Okay. You were violated. So that amongst a lot of things, when you tell your story about your mother, there's a lot of things that you say that are so important for people to hear you say them, but it's so much more important for your own healing, you know, to be able to say them and be transparent so that people can have conversations with you about it. Because again, and this is exactly where I'm going to end, you are important. What you are doing is important. It doesn't matter if I agree with it or not. It matters that it's fucking important. And I want you to get up every day and keep doing what is important in your life. And I want people to listen to you and understand that it is just as important as the next person's viewpoint and mindset, because you are an individual with a journey that no one else has. And I'm glad that you came on and quote rambled. And I'm glad that you touched on the things that you touched on, But more importantly, I'm just glad that you could, you know what I'm saying? That I was able to sit back, for me, again, different, and allow you to, you know, speak. Because I ain't been invited on your damn show yet. But so let me just be clear about this.
No, we can
this.
Do it. Listen. Here's your challenge right now. Shit. We can run this shit right back on mine right now. I got the pee. I've been drinking Coronas. But we can run it right back on mine. And I got to roll up one more. But we can run it right back. Shit. You say no more.
Okay.
I'm dead ass serious.
One too. You ain't saying nothing but a word. What you mean? Right. Come through.
Well, give me 15.
I am too. You already
get
know.
Get your ass for this shit.
About it.
Ain't it, man? Listen.
So, for real. Thank you. I appreciate you taking the time because I know you did a lot of shit. We didn't even talk about your business, which I would love to do on another episode. But that's a whole about 4 or 5 ones. But you know, I appreciate you coming on here and being transparent and not giving a fuck about what people think about you or are gonna say about you, and not giving a fuck that you're on a pro black platform and you saying whatever the fuck you want to. You know, I'm truly grateful. I'm grateful for you though as a person and a human being. You already know, you know, how I feel about you. So 11/11 is the shit right now. And that's just the way it
that's
is.
Real. 11/11, that's real. I'm gonna see you in about 15 minutes. I'm gonna send you the invite.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. Thank you for showing up.
Yes, ma'am.
And thanks everybody for listening. I appreciate y'all. You know how I feel about you. I love you and I believe in you.